Magic and science don't usually mix so well, but an article in Science Times this week describes how neuroscientists have become very interested in the techniques of professional magicians. The reason is that in perfecting tricks and illusions over thousands of years, magicians have been creating a body of knowledge about how our brains work, sometimes preventing us from seeing where that card or coin goes. Reporter Ben Carey joins us to talk about a recent collaboration between magicians and neuroscientists. Ben, welcome. Tell me about this collaboration.
Well, Jim, it's a paper in a journal called Nature Reviews Neuroscience. It's a collaboration between two scientists in Arizona and five magicians, fairly well-known magicians, including Teller of Penn & Teller, James Randi, Mac King is a big Vegas performer.
Now, how did they land this paper in Nature Neuroscience Reviews, and why are neuroscientists interested in magic?
Well, the two scientists who are the lead authors on this are pretty well-known visual neuroscientists, and they organized a conference last year in which they pulled together some magicians and began to try to describe how some of the illusions and tricks are carried out, sort of based on what they knew about science of the brain.
And this is what magicians have learned through trial and error over thousands of years, essentially doing a kind of informal experiment to figure out how to distract someone's attention. Is that what this is about?
That's right. I mean, magic has a long tradition that's sort of passed on from magician to magician in books and so on. And, of course, magicians develop their own sort of methods and moves and maneuvers based on their observations and the way people respond to their tricks.
So what's an example of a kind of magic trick that takes advantage of one of these, of something that's going on in your brain that we're not really that aware of?
Let's take an example of a pretty spectacular trick in John Thompson's Las Vegas show, the Great Thompsoni, as he's known. This is a trick in which the magician brings up on stage an assistant who's dressed in a white dress and tells the audience he's going to change her dress red by magic. And the first thing he does is shines a red light on her, and that's a very obvious way of changing the dress color red, and he makes a joke out of it, and everyone laughs. Then he clicks off the red light, turns up the house lights, and now she is in a red dress.
A real red dress.
And so that trick takes advantage of a property of visual neurons, which is that when something suddenly disappears from view, they preserve for about 100 milliseconds or something like that an image of the thing that's disappeared. That's called an after discharge, according to the paper. And that image lingers for just a little while. And in this case, it veils the woman in this sort of red image, which is left over from the switched off red light. And it's just enough time for Thompsoni to have her white dress snatched away, and she's wearing a red dress underneath.
The audience doesn't see that. I mean, somebody actually snatches this. It's some kind of tearaway garment, and they just snatch it.
It's done mechanically, and no one sees it. Yeah.
It's done mechanically.
There are also some sort of basic kids' magic, which can be explained by neuroscience. One example they give is spoon bending, where you sort of twirl a spoon between your thumb and forefinger, kind of like a teeter-totter going back and forth. It looks like the spoon is bending right there at the junction.
And there's a distracting attention is another thing that kids use in magic.
Right. I mean, a good amateur magician will do all sorts of crazy stuff to distract the audience while he or she palms a card or stuffs a rabbit into a hat.
Now, is it true that you, in fact, did magic shows when you were a kid?
I did a few.
And you used distraction? Can you give us an example?
Well, sure. I performed a show in which I used a bowl with a little propane in it to distract my audience while an assistant escaped from beneath a table. He was helping me to pull stuff out of a hat.
So you had an assistant under the table, something draped over the table, and the kids in the audience are all shouting, "There's somebody under the table, there's somebody under the table."
That's right.
And then you light this bowl on fire.
Right.
And who was the assistant? He another kid?
Jim took off. Hid in the car,
yeah.
And so when the audience rushed the stage to sort of unmask my tricks, there was no one under the table.
Fantastic, yeah. Fantastic. You didn't know anything about neuroscience at the time.
Not at the time.
What are some other kinds of distraction or misdirection that magicians use?
Well, another good example, sort of the more interesting examples, have to do with the way that the brain almost doesn't see certain actions that seem trivial. So an example of this is given in my story and in the paper by Teller, one half of Penn and Teller, the Las Vegas show. He describes a situation in which if he has to get rid of a card or a ball or something he has palmed in his hand, he might make a maneuver as if looking for something, his pockets or something like that, and pull out a pencil, for example. Now, when the pencil's produced and he hands it to someone, then that action, once the intention is understood, sort of falls away from people's memory. It becomes part of the background. And they forget that, in fact, he had his hands in his pockets. In this case, he was able to stash whatever he had palmed.
So magicians are taking advantage of the fact that your eyes can see something, but your brain doesn't see it. It doesn't, essentially, it doesn't register on your consciousness.
That's right. I mean, just because your eyes are witnessing something, if you're thinking or your conscious attention, your cognitive attention is on something else, then you have no recollection of it. You don't see it. You don't notice it.
Because you didn't notice that I was going to slip in that question about your early magic career, right?
That's exactly right. You'd make a good magician.
Thanks.